Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, amen. How many got a little stress going on in your life? Anybody a little stressed? Anybody? So we're talking on how to go from stressed to blessed. God wants to take you from stressed to blessed. You can't have no stress in your life. That wasn't properly put. There's no such thing as a stress-free life, but we can learn from the Word of God how to deal with stress. How many believe God's way of dealing with stress is probably better than your way, right? It's definitely better than the world's way. And so if we'll follow God's instructions, thank God that we have a whole book of instructions for us. If we'll follow those, we can go from stressed to blessed. We don't want to be stressed out. We don't want to be freaked out, right? But wouldn't it be better just to be blessed? And so turn over in your Bibles to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. A lot of people have this portion of scripture memorized. That's a good thing. I love to memorize scripture. I think it's good for us. It keeps us filled up. And so in Psalms 23, we're going to read it out a little different translation. Sometimes you can hear things so many times one way, you just tune out to it. And so let's look at it at a different translation, and maybe it'll just bring some fresh life to it for you. And so it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Last week, I gave you some homework to be saying that all this week. Just be meditating on saying it out loud. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want." Or another translation says, "I have everything that I need." Isn't that good? Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And here's what a shepherd does. He leads me. He guides me. He protects me. He feeds me. He takes care of me. And the Bible says that we are the sheep. Sheep. Everybody say, bah. I do a pretty good sheep, don't I? I do. That's because I practice it. I'm like, "Lord, I'm your sheep." Bah. I remind myself, I'm the sheep. Because what happens is we want to be the shepherd. Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to be the shepherd, but that's not my job. That's Jesus' job. I'm the sheep. And so I'm the sheep. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. And so it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, so I have all I need." Oh, that's good. "He makes me lie down in lush green meadows, and he leads me beside calm, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Oh, doesn't that sound so good? But you know what? All that good stuff that follows verse number one, you got to get that first. You got, "The Lord is my shepherd." When I allow Jesus to be my shepherd and I follow him instead of expecting him to follow me. And that's what we do sometimes. We're like, "Oh, Lord, I'm doing this. Bless it. Lord, I'm moving here. Bless me." And the Lord's like, "Hey, that's not how it works. The Lord's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. I follow him. And when I follow him, all those good things are going to come to me." Amen? And so let's just determine right now, say, "I'm the sheep."
I'm the sheep.
"He's the shepherd."
"He's the shepherd."
"I'm the sheep."
"I'm the sheep."
"He's the shepherd."
"He's the shepherd."
That's his job. That's his job. And so we talked last week, we started out, and I told you guys, you know, I love to read things, I love to read studies, I love when people, real smart people with lots of initials and things after their name and before their names, which God bless them, we're thankful for them, when all these smart people do studies of people, and their studies always align with the Word of God. They always come up and say, like I told you, there's this whole book, this big study. It's called Imperfect Harmony. And it talks about the benefits of singing together. Well, we already knew that. The Bible tells us of the benefits of being together and worshiping God together. There's power in it. You know, it lowers our blood pressure. It lowers stress. It does all kinds of amazing things. Well, The church has been doing that for over 2,000 years, right? And then just all these amazing studies. And I told you guys last week, I said, we were talking, and I said, if anybody here struggles with or has issues with God being the creator of the universe, the creator of you, that God made you. And sometimes we can think, and we've been told over and over again, that we started, that there was a big explosion, right? The Big Bang. Right? That's where the TV show came from. There was a big bang, and then we went from the ooh to the goo to you. Right? That was pretty much it. From the ooh to the goo to you. And you know what? Sometimes even believers, we can still have questions, and we can have, you know, God's not afraid of your questions. You're not being a bad person because you have questions. God's not afraid of questions. God answers questions. Amen? So if you're like, hey, what about the dinosaurs? Hey, what about, that's okay. God has the answers for those questions. God's not afraid of a challenge. Amen? And so anyway, I told you, if you have questions, if you're saying, you know what, I struggle with, you know, evolution versus creationism, and I told you guys about a book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. This is an amazing book. Once you learn about you, the human body, the intricacies, and how God made you, it's going to take you more faith to believe that you just happened than it's going to take for you to believe that God made you. Don't make uninformed decisions. Don't base your life on something you just heard somebody say. Get into it and find out what God said. Get into it and find out what the science says. Science does not go against God. Science aligns with God. And so anyway, I got three of these books. They'll be in the Connection Center back there. I'm just going to give them to you for what I paid for them. I paid $15 for them. If you come and you tell whoever's back there, I don't have $15, but I'm Pastor Peggy's favorite. They might work a deal for you. They might work a deal for you, all right? Never let money keep you from getting the truth. But anyway, those would be back there. Just an amazing book that talks about how your body's made, how it works, how your body has healing in it. It's incredible. It was one of my textbooks when I was in college. And as I read it, I just kept saying, how could anybody believe this just happened? Our bodies are so amazing and so intricate. And it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. And so I just encourage you, if you got questions, don't just stick them under a rock, but take them to God. Amen? Take your questions to the Lord. He'll help you out. And that's all a freebie. That's not even in my message. All that for free. All right, here we go. So I told you, I know what I was talking about. I'm on track. I know what I was talking about studies. I love studies that tell me what God already told me. But I just love it. And so they were talking, I read a thing, and they were talking about, they did a study about the things that cause the most stress. And we gave them to you last week, not that we need somebody to tell us what causes stress. How many know? We already know, right? One of them is worry. Another one is hurry. When we're in a rush, how many are ever running late? Boy, when you're running late, all somebody has to do is say one word, man, and you're, right? Because you're stressed out because you're late. And so being in a hurry all the time, that can really cause some stress. Being in crowds can cause some stress. There's just so many people and you know, just so much going on, it can cause stress. Another thing that causes stress is multiple choice. There are so many choices of things. I mean, there's like, if you go to Starbucks, it's like you need a lesson on how to order before you go in there, right? And it didn't used to be that way. It used to just be coffee. You either had coffee, you had black coffee, cream and sugar coffee, cream-only coffee, or sugar. That was it. Right? And the young people are like, how did you live? How did you live? We survived. But there's so many choices out there, and choices can be overwhelming. Another thing is loss of privacy. The world is so open, and everybody knows everything about everybody, and it can cause stress in your life that there's no privacy in your life. Another thing is what a word that we used last week, and this is just a review. If you weren't here, hello, where were you, right? If you weren't here, we love you. But if you weren't here, you can listen to it online. Another word that we use is called pluralism. Look at your neighbor and say, that sounds pretty smart. You're going to use that word this week. You're like, oh, that's pluralism, right? Sounds good, doesn't it? But pluralism just means there's so many different kinds of people. How many of those different kinds of people? I mean, there's people that just, they're not going to like you. There are people that don't like you. I know that's a shock. Here's an even bigger shocker. There are people that don't like me. I know, right? How is that even possible? But no, it's true. I can introduce you. No, there are a few. But pluralism, there's people that they're not going to like you because you like Jesus. They're not going to like you because of your political views. They're not going to like you because you don't like what they like, so they don't like you. But there's so many things. There's so many different ways of living, so many different cultures. There's so many. There's different ways to eat, different ways to have coffee. You know, people are not going to like you because one person likes soccer and one person likes football, right? You know, people just aren't going to like us for different reasons. And so with so many different cultures and so much going on, it can cause some conflict. Man, if you're at work and somebody just doesn't like you because of the way you dress, the way you live, the way you act, it causes conflict. And so that can cause stress, right? And then another thing is that causes stress in our lives is the fear of the future. We don't know what's going to happen. Especially now, there's so much going on. And now we have, you know, we just had this major storm. Hurricane Michael has come in right here in Florida, caused just catastrophic damage. And I just want to encourage you as a church, we reach out. We reach out. Let's take a time on my message to make a quick announcement. We're a Rhema church. That's the word, Rhema. We're a Rhema church, and we're also an ARC church. We're not just out here all by ourselves. We're connected to a much bigger body that's all over the world. And we're part of that. And here in up in the panhandle, several fellow sister brother churches were just wiped out. Just totally, their roofs are caved in. They're not able to have service, just totally wiped out. And so we're not just going to sit here and be like, oh, that's so terrible. That's so sad. We're going to do something because that's what family does. And this is our church family up there that have just had so much damage, and then their lives are completely turned upside down. And so in the past, we've sent teams of people to go and to help rebuild. We've done medical missions. We've done all kinds of things where we go and we're the hands and the feet of Jesus. How many of these people need some help? Wouldn't it be great? And you say, oh, you see on TV and you're like, oh, this is happening, that's happening. Man, I tell you, there's nothing like rolling up to a fellow church and saying, we're not here to get anything, we're here to give everything we've got. There's nothing like it. So if you are interested in being part of that, being you're physically healthy, you have time that you can take off from work, and you want to go and help rebuild some churches, some homes, clean out all the stuff, do whatever needs to be done, sign up today so when they give the green light for us to go, we're not getting ready, but we're already ready. Amen? We don't have the green light right now. You can't go. But let's be ready. When they say come, let's be ready. Let's not be getting ready. Let's be ready. So we want to do that, and we want to take stuff with us. And so as we find out what they need, we're going to be collecting. They always need non-perishable food, always need tarps, and always need money, right? I mean, think about it. These people are not able to work. They're not able to get paychecks. Well, if this was us, wouldn't we be thankful? Yeah. Wouldn't we be thankful? And so, you know what? Let's treat it like it is us because it's our family. Amen. And so sign up in the back with the connection people and let us know so we're ready to go when they say go. Amen? And I tell you what, how many have ever been on one of those trips? Raise your hand, I've been on those trips. It's a life changer. And I'll tell you what, people that talk about the church, oh, the church does all this stuff. But I'll tell you, there's a pride that comes because when you're up there and you're seeing Good Samaritan, First Baptist, Word of Faith, Rhema, these giant semi-trucks just rolling in one after another after another, the church is the hand of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like seeing it move. Nothing like it. There's a church in the Hurricane Florence, and I know I'm getting a little off track, but it's good for us. There's a church that was doing 20,000 meals twice a day, every day. The church. That's how it's supposed to be. Amen? That's how it's supposed to be. And so we want to get up there. We want to help out. There's like three Rhema churches that are just, one church looked very similar to ours, just caved in. And so they're going to need a lot of help. And so let's do what we do best, and that's be like Jesus. Amen? And so it's just that fear of the future. There's so many storms and so many things happening, and the politics are crazy, and the world is crazy, and nuclear stuff and all this, global warming, climate change, whatever you want to say, it causes stress. Yeah. And I'll tell you, parents, don't think your kids don't get stressed. Because these young kids, these young elementary school kids, they're hearing all of this and they don't have the ability to process it properly. And it's causing stress in their lives. And so all these things are causing stress. And we're like, what do we do? Let's go back to Jesus and do what he said to do, because his way works. And we find that right here in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, so I have all that I need. What do I have? I've got everything I need. And so if we'll look here, we'll see that Psalms 23 gives us seven things to do that are going to take care of that stress. We're still going to, all that stuff is still happening, right? We're not going to go into work tomorrow and everybody be just like us. There's going to be different people in there. All the people that don't like us aren't suddenly going to all of a sudden be like, you know what, you're my fave. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so I can't extinguish stress, but I can learn to deal with stress, and I can do it God's way. And so here we go. We're going to look at the things. We started this last week. We got a little bit through. Number one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to look to God to meet my needs. Who meets my needs? God does. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to obey the Lord's instructions on rest. The Bible says that he makes me lie down. Your body is designed to sleep. That's how you're made. You either rest your body or your body will make you. Why? Because that's how you're made. We're not made to stay up all the time. We're not made to keep going and burn the candle at both ends. That's not how we're designed. And it doesn't work. And so we need to rest our body. And we talked a lot about that last week. How many took a nap this week? You went home and said, Pastor said, take a nap. We talked about recharging our souls with looking at the beauty of how the world is created. You know, the world, God could have created the world any way he wanted. He could have made it any way he wanted, but he made it so beautiful. He made so many beautiful things in the world. And it is a proven, people study this kind of stuff, it's a proven thing. When we look at beautiful things, it rests us. It gives us rest. When we have entertainment, it's good for us. You know, I was talking last week, we got our Patriots fans, we got our Dolphins fans, and you know, and I think they're going to have a heart attack watching those games, you know? I mean, I'm just like, relax a little, you know? But what's happening? They're excited and they're getting entertained, and that's good for them. It's actually good for them. And so really just recharging our souls. And so when we look at this, another thing the Bible tells us, I'm going to go to God for my guidance. Amen? You know what? God will guide you. God will help you. God will lead you. The Bible says in Psalms 32, verse number 8, out of the New Living, it says, God will lead me on the best pathway for my life. Not the okay pathway, not the no fun pathway. So many people think that God's way is no fun. Listen, if you think God's way is no fun, you're hanging around the wrong Christians. Because the Christians I know are the funnest people. They're the funnest people around. They're the funniest people around. I tell you what, there are people in this room, they make me laugh so hard, I just cry. I cry, I'm laughing so hard because they're just so fun to be with. And so if you've got this idea that God's no fun, you don't know God. And you're hanging around a bunch of sourpuss Christians, right? They're out there. If Brother Lee was here, what would he say?
I met one.
So if I'm going to deal with this stress, I need to let God guide me. You know, God can guide you on the right job to take. God can guide you on the right, if you're single in here, for goodness sake, let God guide you. Amen? Let God guide you. The Bible says in James, it says this, if any man lacks wisdom... How many met somebody that lacked wisdom? How many have been the person that lacked wisdom, right? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't condemn them or criticize them. God will give you wisdom, and he's not going to be like, you don't know that. How could you not know that? He's not going to criticize you. He's not going to condemn you. The Bible says that God gives, he gives it. God wants to help you with your life. He wants to help you with your finances. He wants to help you in your marriage. He wants to help you raise your children. He wants to give you the wisdom to do the things that you need to do. God knows you got a life, and he wants to help you with it. Yeah. Amen? And he wants to lead you on the best pathway for it. Yeah. That's a good God, and that's the God of the Bible. If you've got this idea that God is not good, that he's angry with you, doesn't like you, is done with you, you don't know Jesus. You know one somebody's told you about, not the real one. How many of you have ever had somebody tell somebody something about them that wasn't true? Somebody said something about you, it wasn't true. But you know what? People do that to Jesus all the time. They say stuff about Jesus that isn't true. Just because a lot of people say it doesn't mean it's true. Find out for yourself. You need to find out for yourself. I say all the time, go to the source. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything I say. Go to the source. What's the source? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. And so we're talking about wisdom. He gives it generously and graciously. God is waiting to give you wisdom. Now remember, what was the number one verse? Psalms 23, verse 1. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the key. You got to make Jesus your shepherd. You got to make a decision. I'm the sheep. You're the shepherd. And when we do that and we ask him for wisdom, he's going to give it to us. He's going to give it to us. Psalms 20, he guides me in the right path for his name's sake. This is an affirmation. God's saying, I believe. We can say, God, I believe you're going to guide me at the right time in the right way. I believe you're going to do it. I believe I'll know what to do. I know what to do. There's so many people, even in this room right now, you're at a crossroads in life. You're like, man, what do I believe? Where do I go? What do I do? Do I go this way? Do I go this way? And it's stressing you out. And God's saying, listen, I'll help you. And if I'm going to get wisdom from somebody, I want to get wisdom from the one who sees ahead. How about you? I don't want wisdom from somebody that's, you know, five steps back. It's like taking marriage advice from somebody who's been married a few times, right? And the one they're in is rocky. It amazes me how people take relationship advice from certain people. I just look at them like, seriously? Seriously? Like, really? I mean, you're not going to take workout and diet advice from me, right? No. No, you're not. I mean, you're not. I'm not going to ask the guy at the corner at Mount Luke and say, he's asking for 25 cents. I'm saying, hey, what do you think I should do with my finances? I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it's not working. Right. I want to ask somebody who knows. Yeah. I want to ask somebody who knows, who's got all the wisdom that it's working for them. That's who I want to ask. And you know what? We can find fault in every person, but you cannot find fault in God. And so instead of running right and left and asking everybody and watching Dr. Phil and watching Oprah and all this stuff, hey, let's go to Jesus. Amen. Amen? Because he knows. He knows. And he's saying, listen, just ask me. Ask me. But when we ask, we got to listen. And then once we listen, we got to obey. What good's it going to do if God says, hey, listen, go down to take 10th Avenue to Dixie Highway, turn right. Got it. Going down 10th, and I turn left. What happened? I heard God gave me the wisdom, but I was like, I'll be the shepherd. And then we wonder, where's God? Where's God in all of this? God went right. God's going, he's going right. And so the Lord is my shepherd. That means that he guides me. He gives me wisdom. But what do I need to do? Follow. I got to follow. The Lord is my shepherd. Sheep follow the shepherd. Amen? All right, and here we go. We're going to get to the next one. We're talking about just that stress that happens. And the Bible says here in Psalms 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That sound good? I bet a lot of us, we've said that at a time or two. But you know, I know that there are people here today and you're in a valley. The Bible says we walk through the valley. A valley is a low point. And you don't raise your hand, but I know there's people here today, you're in a low point. You're in a low point with your relationships, a low point just with life. You have feelings of anxiety and depression. And you don't feel worthy. You don't feel valuable. You don't feel like anybody likes you. You don't feel like anything is working out for you. You don't feel like you can get anywhere. You just feel like you're stuck. You're stuck. That's a low point. And you're like, what do I do? You're in a valley. And you know what? Life comes with valleys. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean that you don't know Jesus. Doesn't mean anything. It just means you're part of this world and you're part of this life. Valleys happen. But I want us to see something in here that's so powerful. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's just look at that. Number one thing, I gotta walk through it. And if the Bible says I can walk through it, then I can walk through it. And so first thing you got to know is in that valley, this is not your life. This is not how it's going to end. This is not where you're going to wind up. It's not all over. This is a valley and you're walking through. Amen? You just got to tell yourself, I'm walking through this. I'm the sheep. And if the shepherd says I can walk through this, I can walk through it. So no matter how overwhelming it may feel, no matter how low you may feel you've gotten, you've got to just make a decision. I'm walking through this. I'm walking through, and you're not alone. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But I'm walking through this valley of a shadow of death. Let's just look at that word shadow. Here's the thing about shadows. You guys ready? They're not real. Shadows aren't real. There's nothing there. Like, I can see my shadow on the ground, but it's not, there's no one there. It's just a shadow of me. It's not real. And the enemy's trying to lie to you and tell you, this is it. You're going down. You're over. This is going to kill you. It's just a shadow of death. It's not real. It's just a shadow of death. The enemy's trying to convince you that it's over. You don't have what it takes. That you're weak. And because nobody likes you, because of the way you feel, this is how it's always going to be. You're always going to be depressed. You're always not going to fit in. You're always, whatever lie he's telling you, he's told it to all of us before too. But you need to look at that shadow and say, you are not real. You're just a shadow. And shadows are always bigger than the real thing. Isn't that the truth? How many of you have ever put your hand, you know, right? Your little hand, it's huge on the wall. Shadows always look bigger than the real thing. Don't let the enemy convince you your life is over. It's not. This is just a valley. Don't let the enemy convince you your marriage is over. This is just a valley. Don't let the enemy convince you that this is how you're going to live the rest of your life. This is just a valley. And the way that you get through a valley is you keep walking. You keep walking. You keep letting God show you how to get out. Don't stop. I'll walk through this. Here's a mistake we make with valleys. Depression comes, anxiety comes, fear comes, you know, all those feelings come. And the enemy will say, this is how it's always going to be. This is it. And we're like, okay. And we say dumb stuff like this. It is what it is. It is what it is. I'm just, depression runs in my family, you know. This is how it's always going to be. I'm never going to have joy. I'm never going to have the life I dreamed about. I'm never, and it's just a shadow. It's just a valley. But here's what happens. We hear that and we're like, okay. And so we start hanging up pictures. We start decorating in our valley. We're like, send my mail here. This is where I live now. I live in the valley now. I'm just, you know, we've become Eeyore, right? We're just like, dirt, da, dirt, this is where I live. And then when people are not in the valley, we're like, I hate you. I hate you. Right? Isn't that the truth? That's the truth. But you know what? It doesn't matter what valley it is. The Bible says you walk through it. You can get through this. Sometimes we just need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I can get through this. I can get through this because the Lord is my shepherd. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. I'm going to get through this. You're going to get through this. Let's not stay here. Let's not stay in the valley. Let's not accept the valley as our permanent residence. Amen? Let's keep walking. He says, I walk through the valley. You know, there's so much, you know, loss of things causes stress. Loss of people we love. Loss of a job. Loss of an opportunity. Whatever kind of loss it is. And we can think, man, this is it. No, it's a valley. And you're going to get through it. Amen? And you need to surround yourself with people that will let you cry, because grief is a good thing. Grief is a good thing. Don't be like, I'm fine. No. Surround yourself with people that help you walk, because as you walk through that valley, you walk through that pain. You walk through those emotions. You walk through all of that. You walk through it, and if you don't walk through it, it's going to pop up. It's like whack-a-mole. It's going to pop up somewhere else. It's going to pop up somewhere else. You got to walk through some stuff. You got to deal with what's going on in that valley as you walk through it. And as you do, you're getting more free and more free. You're walking through the valley. Amen? Don't let that shadow convince you it's real. It's not. Don't let that shadow convince you that the obstacle is as big as it looks. It's not. God's bigger. Amen? You're going to walk through that. You're walking through that valley. I'm walking through that valley. When you get unstuck and move, you grow up. You grow emotionally. You grow in all areas when we walk through stuff. What happens a lot of time, listen to me here, we stay in valleys because we don't want to deal with why we're there in the first place. I don't want to deal with what happened when I was a kid. I don't want to deal with some issues that I got going on. I don't want to deal with the loss of my parent. I don't want to deal with that. And what happens is you get stuck in that valley because you won't let Jesus in to deal with stuff. You know, I've preached on this recently, and it's off my notes. I apologize there, guys. But when Lazarus was in the tomb, how many know the story of Lazarus? He was a friend of Jesus, and he died. And he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. How many heard of Mary and Martha? They're kind of famous. Mary and Martha. Martha, Martha. I always say, if Jesus says your name twice, you're probably in trouble. You're probably in trouble. But Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus died. And his sisters were really bent out of shape because they knew Jesus had the power. And so when Jesus came, Jesus even stayed where he was for an extra couple days. And they put Lazarus in the tomb because he was dead. And so then he gets to where he is. Jesus comes. And his sister is saying, oh, if you would have been here, this, you know, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus is talking to her, and she's like, I know you have the power to take care of this. I know you can do it, Lord. I know you're a big God. I know. But then when Jesus says, roll the stone away, the same sister that's like, oh, I know you can do it, Lord. Glory to God. She's the white hanky person at church. Glory, glory. Right? She's that lady. But then as soon as God wants to do something difficult in her life, she puts the brakes. Because when Jesus said, roll that stone away, now the same lady, she was like, oh, yeah, oh, Jesus, woo, Jesus. But then she said, wait a minute. That's going to stink. He's been dead for, what was it, 4 days? He's been dead for 4 days. That's going to stink. And she's like, hold up. You know what? That's exactly what we do when we're trying to walk through that valley. And God says, hey, you need to deal with this situation. You need to deal. You need to let me heal that. You need to let me heal that hurt that happened when you were a kid. You need to remember it, and you need to let God heal it. You need to let God heal the wounds from the words that those people spoke to you. You need to let God say, let me into that. Let me into that place. Let me into that damage that your parents' divorce caused in your life. Let me into that. And you're like, wait a minute. I don't want to deal with that. That's going to stink up my life. That's going to come out. And then we wonder why we're still stuck in the valley. You got to let God roll the stone. Amen? You got to let God into those deep places. Because if you're in a valley for a long time, there's a reason. And it is not God's will. It's not God's will. We're not designed to be valley livers. Amen? That sounds funny. We're not made to be. I'm not made to live here. It's like when we were on vacation in California, and one of the nights we were on vacation, we're on motorcycles. You just got to stop wherever you can stop, and we stopped at this place. It was a dive. This hotel, I mean, it was like, that's an understatement, right? I mean, it was bad. It was one of those places you're like checking the mattress, you know what I'm saying? And then you're like, I just want to pretend I didn't see that. And I looked at Scott, and I was like, I'm not made to live in these kind of places. This is not my thing. I don't thrive here. You know, this is not me. Where's room service? I'm a room service girl. You know what I'm saying? I was very uncomfortable. I barely slept. I was convinced there was bugs there. I don't like bugs, you know. And it was rough. And then the door barely locked. There was a drug deal in the parking lot. True story. And I'm just like, this is crazy. Why? I'm not made to live there. And you know what? Same thing is true for valleys. You're not made to live there. That's why you feel so uncomfortable. That's why you feel that you're not at rest. That's why you feel like there's more to life. You know why? Because there is. Yes. There is. You're not made to live in a valley. God made you to live higher. He made you as an overcomer. He made you as a conqueror. He made you to have your dreams come true. He made you to have life and life abundant. Yes. That's how you're made. And when anything is less than that, you're like, man, something's not right. Something doesn't feel right. Something's not good. That's it. Because you're trying to live somewhere you don't belong. But we end up just hanging pictures. Well, this is where I'm going to live. Send my mail here, because when Jesus starts doing a work in us, it gets uncomfortable. And we have to look at things we don't want to look at. But I want to encourage you, when Jesus rolled that stone away, it wasn't to expose anything. It wasn't to make anybody pay for anything. It was to heal and bring back to life that which was dead. Amen. And so if you let him roll it away, he's not going to come in with a sledgehammer. He's coming in with the healing power of Jesus. Amen? He's not coming in with a finger wag. Jesus doesn't do that. No. People do that. Jesus doesn't do it. Jesus loves. Jesus accepts. Jesus encourages. Jesus gives grace. That's the God of the Bible. Amen. But you gotta let him roll some stuff. You gotta say, all right, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to deal with it. And trust that he will. And as you walk through that, you're walking out of that valley that you're in. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a valley. I don't want to be, I'm not made to live there. He says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When a shepherd has a rod and a staff, so many people think that God's going to use the rod on you. You heard your parents say, you want the rod? Right? My brother would all, well, I'm not even going to go there. But that rod, here's some good news for you. Those you think God's mad at you, that rod's not for you. The rod's not for you. The rod is for your enemies. It's for the wolves that are trying to devour and kill you. It's to protect you, not to beat you. He doesn't beat anybody up. He doesn't beat anybody up. He loves you. That rod isn't for you. It's for those who are trying to destroy you. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that staff, just get a picture of a little cute little sheep. Let's all do it. Bleh. Right? Little fluffy sheep. And as it starts going the wrong way, the shepherd takes the staff, which is just what you think, just a long stick, usually has a hook on the end of it. He takes that staff and he gently, say gently, taps the sheep. What's he doing? He's getting him back on track. That's what the staff does. He's not banging it over the head. He's not breaking its leg. Preacher is saying that God breaks your leg. God does not break your leg. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No, he takes the staff and he gently taps you. And if you don't listen, he might hook you with it and pull you in. But thank God for it, because you know what he's pulling you off of? He's pulling you away from the cliff.
Yeah.
Because sheep are so dumb. Sheep are so dumb. They'll walk right off a cliff. Sheep are so dumb that they will fall asleep standing up and fall flat over. They're just not bright. We're not bright. We need a shepherd. And so that rod, you know why it comforts me? Because it protects me. And that staff, you know why it comforts me? Because it guides me. Listen, you're walking through something, but his rod and his staff are right there with you. God's going to help you. He's not going to leave you there. He's going to pull you through there. Oh, man, isn't that good? That's so good. God's good. Psalms 142, verse number 3. Listen to this. This is so good. Psalms 142, verse number 3. This is a prayer that David prayed, who wrote Psalms 23. He said, "When I am ready to give up, he knows what I should do. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do." And that's just, I'm going to give up being the shepherd. I got to give up and say, "Lord, have your way." And trust that his way is better than mine. Trust that he knows the way out. Trust that he knows the way through. You know why? Because he does. And then the next thing that causes that worry, that stress, that conflict, opposition, criticism, attacks, which, you know, I mean, people from all sides are getting. It doesn't matter if you're a right or a left, if you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're pro-life, you're not. I mean, everybody's getting attacked. Everybody is. You can't please everybody. You can't. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. Somebody isn't going to like you and they're going to have conflict. You say, "Man, what do I do?" Let God be your defender. Yeah. Amen? Let God be your defender. And remember, you don't have to defend God. I don't have to defend how God moves. When people have issue with praying in the Spirit and getting hands laid on and people going out in the Spirit and all the stuff that people think are crazy, I don't have to defend that. My life will defend it. All I got to say is, you know what? It's worked for me. Amen. I'm not where I used to be. God is our defender. And the thing about it is today in our society, we're losing that respect for one another. We're losing respect for people that are different from us. And it's so unChristlike. It's so unChristlike. Man, don't let the mob convince you that they're godly. Don't let that happen. Because many people do things in God's name and God has nothing to do with it. God loves people. God has a plan. And there are things that are wrong. But God is not a smasher. God's a lifter. Amen? God's a lifter. The world's getting more rude. But here's the thing to remember is little people belittle people. Don't they? Little people belittle people. Great people make people feel great. Whether I disagree with you or not, I'm going to be Christ-like to you. Amen? And so when we think about this and you think, how do I handle rude people? How do I handle people that just want to get in my face simply because I'm a Christian? How do I handle that? How do I handle it when people just are so bent out of shape that I just don't agree with them? And that's the world we live in, is it not? How do I handle that? Let God handle it. Amen. Let God handle it. If you think about David, who wrote this, who wrote Psalms 23, he was anointed king in secret. Nobody knew who he was. He was anointed king in secret, and Saul was the present king. And so here, he's going to be king, but nobody knows. And Saul ends up hating him. He hates him with everything he has and tries to kill him on every turn because people liked him better than him. That'd be rough. The king doesn't like you and is after you. But you know what? David never, he just let God handle it. And that's when the Bible says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let God prepare the table. Our job is to love people. Our job is to tell the truth, speak the word of God in a loving way. That's my job. Let God defend himself. And he will. Let God defend you, and he will. There's no power in getting the last word. I'd rather be Christ-like than right. And so often we want to get in somebody's face, and we want to tell them why we're right, and we want to yell, and we want to scream, and we're like, where do you get that? When they brought Jesus before Pilate, he did not say a word. Didn't say a word. My job is to speak the truth. My job is to tell the truth. My job is to love you no matter what. No matter what you look like, no matter what you sound like, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter if you even like me. That's not a criteria. Do you like me? If you like me, I'll love you, but if you don't, I'm not going to. Paul said, even the world does that. We're Christians. We're supposed to be different. And so how do you handle people that do that? How do you handle it? Is, let's be like David. Do you know that David never said a bad word against Saul? Even though Saul was trying to kill him. Even though he disagreed with Saul. He honored the position that Saul was in. He honored the position. And he didn't say anything about him. He never attacked back. He never retaliated. He only said that God, he only said good. You can find something good about just about anybody. Yeah. Amen? God was preparing David to be the king. And the Bible says he became the king after his own heart. Man, I want to be after God's heart too. How about you? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. When a shepherd anoints a sheep's head with oil, which they really do that, they'll take the sheep and they'll pour oil over his head. And here's why they do it. Because the oil, as it goes over its head and goes into its ears, you know what it does? Anything that's in there that doesn't belong flows out. Isn't that good? All the bugs or mites or anything that gets into a sheep's ear, when the shepherd anoints his head, it washes, it draws all that out. And so instead of getting in the mud with everybody else, let's rise above the mud and handle it like Jesus said to. Let Jesus prepare the table. Let Jesus take care of your enemies. You don't have to go around the office telling everybody how bad that person is because they've done you wrong. Let God take care of it. And it takes trust to let him do it. But you know what? I know God can do a better job than me. And as those hurtful things are said and the pain comes, when he anoints my head with oil, when he's my shepherd and I let him have his way with me, he anoints my head and it just, all that stuff is going to come out. And I'm going to be okay. Let God be your defender. Amen? God is our defender. It takes a lot of faith to rest when you're under attack. But you can't. How many know the sheep doesn't go? A sheep has no defense. It can't defend itself. Can't defend itself. So don't fool yourself into thinking you can either. We need our defender. And then the last one is that fear of the future. Trust that what God started in you, he'll finish. Amen. I'm not perfect. I like to say this. I'm not perfect, but God's not done with me yet. Right? I got some rough edges. You got some rough edges. But God's still, he's still working on me. He's at work in me. He's at work in you. And so when we start having fear of the future, the Bible says in Psalms 23:6, it says, surely, surely, it's not a name. Surely. And here's the thing, that word, it's a powerful word. It means this is going to happen. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we look at stuff and we're getting all bent out of shape because somebody doesn't like me and somebody wrote something about me on Facebook or somebody doesn't like my political views or somebody just looked at me and was like, you know, whatever it is you're dwelling on. You're dwelling on what somebody said at Christmas last year at the family party. You're dwelling on it. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna get them. That's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. Let's let God be our defender and let's trust that He's gonna take care of us. And all these things, even the stuff we're dealing with right now, where we're letting politics divide and conquer. The Bible says the house divided cannot stand. That's why it's the enemy's plan that you can't even stand next to somebody who's different from you without getting blasted by people. Man, how unchristlike is that? I'm happy, I'm proud to say I got friends who don't believe a thing I believe. They don't believe a thing I believe. I got friends I got friends in some low places. Isn't that a song? I got friends that are totally different from me. They're not my inner circle friends because those friends we need to agree. But I got people that I love, people that I care about, people that I have lunch with. And I had somebody, this is a true story. I posted a picture of my friend who's different from me. And somebody called me out on it and said, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't post that. You shouldn't be having lunch with that person. You shouldn't. And I looked at them like, what church do you go to? I'm not calling that person for advice. I'm not praying with that person. I love that person. And if I want to meet them at Whole Foods for lunch, I will. And people that got a problem with it, you got a problem with Jesus because Jesus hung out with tax collectors and Jesus hung out with people that were completely different from him. Again, he didn't call it. They weren't his 12. He didn't say, hey, here's the money bag, although he might should have, right? If you know your Bible. But the thing is, that's not the thing. We've got to be able to be around people that are different from us and know and understand that God's doing a work in me. Amen. Let's love people. Yes. Don't let things divide you. You're not the spiritual police. Amen? How many met somebody trying to be the spiritual police? It's like, that job is taken. His name is the Holy Ghost. Right? That's the Holy Ghost job. It's his job to convict of sin, not my job. My job's to love people. That's your job. And you know what? In all the crazy that's going on, when that fear starts to come, like, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You got to trust. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God is following me. The mercy of God. And what's God's mercy? God's mercy gives me what I need, never what I deserve. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, when this world seems dark and it just seems overwhelming, just remind yourself, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord for eternity. That helps you deal with some stuff here on this earth. Don't let people under your skin. Don't let people get the best of you. Let Jesus get the best of you. Amen? Let's let Jesus get the best of us. Don't give people that much power over you. Amen? Don't let people push your button. Because it's not going to end well. Let God be your defender. And trust that God's at work. Amen. That situation at work, God is at work in that. Amen? God's going to turn that around. Those people that don't like you, God's going to take care of that. You just keep following him. The Lord is my shepherd. I got everything I need. Let's pray together.